Good morning and welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Michael Detweiler, and my guest today, I'm just so honored for her to be here, is Caitlin Steakley. She is a community advocate for the region. She's got a great story to tell us, and I'm just looking forward to hearing more about her. So welcome, Caitlin.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael.
Absolutely, absolutely. So take us back to Caitlin's start. Where were you born? All that fun stuff. Elementary school.
Well, I was born in Cookeville, awesome. But I did grow up in Baxter until I was around eight. So we lived in Baxter, and that was, I feel like that was a really important time in my life as far as like my identity and who I am, because it's much smaller than Cookeville.
Yes, it is.
It is.
And that's great.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. I mean, we lived right down the road from my grandparents. It was truly living in rural America, basically. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's kind of like the hub. I feel like Tennessee's the hub, and I feel like Cookeville is a hub of the Upper Cumberland. And but that's where my story starts.
It's in Baxter. And yep. So you went as a child to Baxter Elementary, right?
I did until around third grade. And then I moved to Cookeville. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole, it was just completely different.
Sure.
And it was really hard. I was like the new girl, but not the new girl,
sure.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
So I had a little bit of an identity crisis kind of all the way through middle school, because I didn't grow up with anybody
sure.
like I did. And, you know, it wasn't, I didn't start school with them and then move through school with them. I was like the new kid, like flashy new,
you could have come from Memphis, Tennessee.
And that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, but you were
except
just
everybody knew who I was anyways.
Oh,
so it was like,
so
it was,
they had their own opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I had a hard time, I guess fitting in,
sure.
And finding like friends and stuff. And so
elementary school in Cookeville, you went where?
To Northeast.
Northeast. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then of course schools are structured different now than they were then. They
sure.
were a 4 year in 5 years in elementary school. And then you went two and then to high school.
Yes.
So, it's not like middle school now. I think the structure and setup now as
yes.
far as K through, the
four,
way, yeah.
K
and then
four, five, eight,
five, six,
school.
Seven, eight is
yes.
much better than having to do 5, 6 and then changing schools again and doing 7, 8. So,
yes.
Anyways, I do like, now I'm like, I wish it had been like that, because I would have been in the same place. I was never in the same place for more than 2 years ever.
Yes.
Or three, really. And that's kind of been the story of my life. Like as far as all the way through college and everything, I changed schools, and I don't know if it was just because I was a creature of habit and like I needed to change. So I moved. So, anyways, my college career, led me to Belmont.
Okay.
I didn't graduate from Cookeville High School.
Okay.
I graduated from Daniel One Academy.
Okay.
I was homeschooled the last 2 years of high school, and I actually skipped my senior, I graduated high school in 3 years.
Okay.
I went to Belmont University for a semester, and then that, led me, I really wanted like the big school experience. I
sure.
was like, oh, this is so small and
school,
I want to get
yes.
away. And, I went to UT for a year and ended up back at Belmont because, I appreciate the small town. And I think that goes back to that thing I said at the beginning about part of that small town and rural living, and Belmont felt like home once I
yes.
really got away and was like, whoa, this is too big. I need to go back to small.
Sure.
And
really when you look at like a university like Belmont being mm-hmm. located in Nashville, it's almost the best of both worlds in
it
terms
is.
Of it's a small school, but yet there are opportunities that are out there.
There are. I loved Nashville. I loved Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
It was the perfect fit for me. I just couldn't see it right at the beginning because
sure.
I want that big
yes,
school thing, and
right.
I wanted to go to the UT football games. And
I was
anyways.
The same way about Cookeville as I grew up here, and then graduating high school here, I couldn't wait to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so focused on leaving. And after 8 years of being gone, it's like, wow, this place is special. I got to get back.
Yeah, it really is special. It never ceases to amaze me. I have some of the craziest stories, and they will always lead back here. And it is, I'm like, it's so fascinating to me. I'm like, I swear it's the center of all things. Like, I know it's the center of my world. So that's just how I feel about it. But, even people I would meet, I can tell stories on stories just about how weird things have always led back, like as far as friend groups. And even My when I went to UT, this is just a really quick snippet, but it's just crazy. My sorority sister that was my big sis or whatever in the sorority, she ended up like she was from Virginia mm-hmm. and she lived near Virginia Tech and ended up at UT, knew nobody, mm-hmm. moved here just because she loved UTK, was in went into broadcasting, ended up moving to Nashville. I mean, I was only really around her for a year. We stayed in touch. She, you know, came to my wedding and everything. But long story short, she ended up on a dating website, meets a guy from Cookeville that graduated with Barrett. Her name was Caitlin, and her name's going to be Caitlin Martin. She's marrying a guy from Cookeville.
Yeah, which is Caitlin's maiden name.
Yes, my maiden name. And so give some context there. But yeah, she ended up, and I'm just like, oh, the world is so weird. It's so weird and so small. And so we love to tell that story.
Will be hearing or is here in Cookeville now.
No, they actually live in Murfreesboro. But okay. He's from Cookeville. He graduated with Barrett around the same time. They went to high school together. And so, I think he was a little bit older, but.
Sure. And
yeah,
so Barrett is your husband, mm-hmm. and you all have two children.
We do.
Yeah. That's awesome. And, so with Barrett was a professional golfer at one time.
Yep.
And so did you all like live the nomad life for a period of time?
We didn't.
You did not.
No,
okay. Well,
he actually stopped right around the time we got married.
Okay.
And then, yeah. So we didn't, but the first year he did kind of go and move around and see, and have tournaments in different places and stuff, but.
So did you actually go? You didn't go out on the road mm-hmm. with him. Yeah, that's probably good.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine for those guys, the motel life is not much fun.
No, so, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. And so, Barrett, her husband, is an excellent golfer. So if any of you all listening need like a guy that you're not only your straight man, but your long man and your guy who can hit it close to the hole and make putts, he's the guy to have on your scramble team.
Oh, for sure.
So if you don't play golf, none of this is making sense. So, anyway, so you end up back in Cookeville mm-hmm. after college.
Yes.
Just because you were drawn back home. What was your thinking?
So Barrett got a job here he was a pharmaceutical rep and his territory was in Cookeville. And so when I actually was married when I graduated and we moved back here. And then my mom at the same time was opening the store, which I refer to it as the store, but it was Bless, clothing store, and it was on the west side. And so she had a small business and was opening a small business and working to do that and follow her dream of owning a business. And so, long story short, I ended up managing that for her and running that for about 5 years.
And you all did, mm-hmm. just like the name says, you all did amazing things with your business and the proceeds going out and blessing others.
Yes.
And that's what I loved about your business.
It was a give back store. Yes. And so one, we tried to have items that returned some sort of investment to the community, like whether that be, we didn't have Tom's, but we tried to find similar brands like that.
Sure.
Yeah, that was kind of the model. And then 10% of all of our sales, not our proceeds, went back into the community.
That was
fantastic. Something my mom always wanted to do. And
So you all had Bless and were taking care of people, blessing folks with it. Is the retail business tough?
Yes. It's very competitive.
It is.
It's very competitive. And I think I'm not as much of a stiff arm. I want everybody to be my friend, I think. And, I try to go out and I just am not, I've learned a lot of lessons. I'll put it that way. I've learned a lot of lessons and I've learned, you know, to kind of separate some friends and business and all of that stuff in my life, over the couple of years. But yeah, it was hard, especially in a small town when you can see what everybody's doing. I would say running a small business is difficult.
Well, it is because it's kind of weird. Cause if you're in the same business with say somebody else, you're, you know, on a large scale, you're not a competitor, but on a small scale you are, cause you're competing for those limited dollars. And then you've got online retailing going on as well. And that makes it difficult because somebody may say, well, hey, that same shirt is $5 less at blah, blah, blah.
Online. Well, that's honestly one of the big things that kind of ended up when we closed. One of the things that kind of led to some of that was those online like Facebook group boutiques that were a lot of those. Not, I'm not saying all of them are bad in any way, shape or form, but some of them, they're not paying taxes. They don't have to charge you the same amount. They're not renting a space. So yes, things are going to be less expensive. And it's honestly not that sustainable. And so a lot of those aren't in business anymore, but they also hurt some of the local economy as far as just, well, I'm just going to buy it online. And then it felt like, when we finally decided to close and I decided, you know, this is just not worth it for my family because I was having to miss time with my family on the weekends. I mean, that's the biggest thing about retail.
Were little.
Yes. And it was just, it was not the right fit for us anymore. My mom had moved out of town and I was the sole person there having to worry about what was going on the weekends and what was going to happen and
staffing.
Exactly.
Challenges. Sure. I get it.
All the things. So, but yeah, the biggest thing, one of those things was, I heard a lot of like, oh, well, I bought something and fell apart or whatever. Then they're like, I'm not buying there anymore. But by the time that had happened, it was like almost too late.
Yes. And a lot of times it's hard to fix those things. People want to take to social media and complain about you.
Yeah.
And when if they would have just picked up the phone or emailed or called or whatever, you could make it right with them.
Yes.
So, if you're recognizing the voice, it's none other than Caitlin Steakley, who is here with me today on Local Matters. And after the break, we will talk about a lot of fun stuff that you may not know. You're listening to News Talk 94.1.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. My guest today is Caitlin Steakley, a community advocate in the area. And then when we went to break, she was talking about family business, retail business they had here on the historic West Side, Bless. And they were closing the business up. And so what did you do after Bless? Where did your path kind of take you?
Well, I had a bit of an identity crisis of like, okay, I know I love all these things. I love being around people. Mm-hmm. I love helping people.
Yes.
And in Bless, I kind of got to do both of those things because I could help people find what they needed and I was around the community. And, anyways, so that kind of led, I had a friend that was starting a nonprofit at the time and she needed some help. Getting things going and I kind of helped her get everything set up and started and moving all that forward. I love taking on projects. I love challenges. So it was a really good fit for me in that season. It was not a paid, it was all volunteer.
Sure.
And so eventually I had to kind of put that aside and be like, okay, I do have to get back to work. And so now I'm a photographer. And I do headshot and business related photography, kind of is my side thing. And then I kind of just spend time doing what I'm doing now, like talking about our community, talking about how great it is. And then helping people that are in need kind of be able to find what they need.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're very good at it. I will absolutely say that. And I'm glad that you're doing the photography business, because I have a daughter who's in the photography business as well, mm-hmm. over in Jackson, Tennessee. And she is part-time working at the church where her husband is the worship pastor. And so she's also doing media and missions work. And so her side of the photography business has been weddings, which mm-hmm. you can imagine and
yes.
you know is a very, can be very difficult. It mm-hmm. can be very rewarding, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's every weekend and, you know, can be a bit of a challenge. One thing that on the photography side that she got into a couple years ago, which it was very random, a friend of hers called and said, I want you to be in the delivery room with us, mm-hmm. and I want you to photograph my delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, I'll do it for you as a friend. But, you know, but then when she did it, she goes, oh my goodness, that's my calling. And
yeah.
so she's done a bunch of these where she's been in the delivery and she doesn't advertise it. It's more word of mouth.
Yeah.
And so she's really enjoyed that part of it. They recently had a baby. So her photography business is, you know,
secondary.
It is. It's on very it's okay. much the back burner, and she's able to take her son with her to work.
That's wonderful.
And so, that's worked out really well for her, being able to take him to the church. But I'm glad you're doing the photography business. We can't have enough good professional photographers out there. And so people will say, well, hey, there's, you know, tons of those that get into it. And I'm like, great. Mm-hmm. We need them. So
yeah.
thank you for doing that. So you are helping out nonprofits. Tell me about an event that happened last year that kind of just, I think it changed us all.
March 3rd. I mean, it was a crazy morning. It was a crazy year. So,
yeah.
I think, when I kind of tell my story now, it's funny because I never could have imagined how helpful that page would have been, or how much work it was going to be,
yes.
or how much it would kind of change. It would kind of change my life. It did change my life. I mean, it did.
And so when Caitlin said page, she is referring to
the Cookeville Strong page.
Yes.
It's a group. It's not a page. It's a group on Facebook.
It's a Facebook group, and you can go on your Facebook page up mm-hmm. in the search bar, type in Cookeville Strong. If mm-hmm. you're not a member, it feels like all of you are members.
Yeah.
However, there's how many?
26,000 people in the group.
Yes.
And there's some wonderful groups in our community.
Yes, there are.
This one was specifically birthed the morning of March 3rd, as I started seeing people share people's belongings and things they were finding in their yard and their pictures
yes.
and everything. And that's really where it started. Was I saw a ton of stuff being shared. I saw 35,000 people, not 35,000, but a lot of people.
Lot
it felt
people.
Like 35,000
right,
people.
Right. It's all over our
hundreds feeds. Of my friends sharing the same post over and over. And so my feed was just flooded with the same thing. And then it was, I don't know. It was such chaos. And I was like, this needs to be organized. And I know that a group is a good way to do this. I've seen it work before. And so I got on there and I would call it divine intervention. I feel like God really placed the words Cookeville Strong, over that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't necessarily feel like I don't know. It kind of just came to me.
Sure.
Like it wasn't, I was like, oh, what do I call
and
this? How do I do this?
Was this the morning?
It was 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Okay.
10 a.m. So I had actually been up since the tornado hit.
Sure.
My husband hit
after midnight.
It hit Nashville around 1 something.
Yes.
We watched the news all the way through. I was like, I'm going to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed it. They showed like the debris ball and everything on News 5 where on 70 they thought it had hit. And I
yes.
looked at my husband. My husband works for Upper Cumberland Electric.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, your office is gone if that's
where
it's hit.
Sure.
And it wasn't completely gone, but it did end up having to be pretty much torn down. The one building did. And then across the street, everything was gone.
Was destroyed.
Completely gone.
So it's interesting. We were woken up by my weather radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we have YouTube TV. And so I can watch that on my phone. And so I had gone on to News 4.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the bathroom watching that, and he was naming, you know, streets and places, you know, right along Highway 70 out of Baxter that, I mean, we all know.
Yeah.
And kept saying, please take cover if you're in this area, you know, boom, 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 and was going right down the road. And then he got, I guess, an update. This was Dan Thomas on Channel 4 got an update from Tyler Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the news just got, you know, worse.
Yeah.
You know, as, you know, we're still in our safe spot. And I'm thinking, oh, no, please don't let this be what it's sounding like. And you're right. The next morning, you know, as we woke up, on Facebook, you saw all those posts. So then you jump in, and I apologize. We're, you know, both kind of emotional about this because it's still fresh with us.
Yeah.
And so you wake up and you say, Lord, help me to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to work and you come up with Cookeville Strong.
Yeah. I had been up, like I said, since, you know, when the news broke and watching the path hit across the TV screen. And then my husband got called into work.
Yes.
So he was called in really early, around right after. I mean, I think it hit at 3. So he was called in right after that. And then that's when things kind of just
kind
really,
of mushroomed.
Yes.
Yes. So you are listening to Caitlin Steakley. She's a community advocate and the founder of the Cookeville Strong Facebook page here on Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. My guest today is Caitlin Steakley, a community advocate. And when we went to the commercial break, we were talking about the tornado that struck Cookeville on early morning on March 3rd, and then the formation of the Cookeville Strong page, because you saw a need to help people get their belongings back, and then also to be able to communicate what was going on, because people have their cell phones in their hands and can see it on Facebook. And so tell me how that, it kind of grew quickly, the page.
It did.
It
grew very quickly. It just went, like, I think whenever we went to the break, I was kind of talking about that morning, and basically I had been up since 4. And so I had already been like, I had kind of went through the emotions of like, I just need to do something. Like, I just felt so stuck at home. Like, I couldn't go out there and help. And I'm not that type of person. I want to be right there. I want to figure it out. I want to come up with a plan, and I want to be able to actually do something that matters, or create something that matters. And so, as I'm sitting there that morning, you know, that it came to me, and I really didn't want it to say anything about the tornado. And I don't necessarily know why. I just was like, I think this would be really bad to have, like, I don't want it to be like Cookeville's tornado, like that just is
right.
So
you want it to be positive.
Yes. Like, we need something positive right now. Like, this is really bad. And so anyways, it did take off. I learned a lot of lessons really, really fast about managing large amounts of people. Just in general, as most of us know, and I'm sure a lot of people go to Facebook for their, especially local news.
Yes, information.
Yes. And national news, maybe not as much. I mean, there's a lot of more fake news, but with local news, you have less of the fake news stuff.
Yes.
So it's more reliable.
It is.
As far as local things go. And so, I was seeing a lot of news stories. I was seeing information. I was seeing people trying to get volunteer groups together and how can we help, and people needing certain things. And so I kind of viewed it originally as a, just a big bulletin board. Like, let's let this just be a free for all and everybody can post what they need to post and it'll be fine. Well, no, it wouldn't be fine.
What I discovered was that
you can't do that. And that took me a couple days. And then after about 4 or 5 days of also like basically not sleeping because it was just constant chaos and having to delete things and whatever, I also realized after I had a very large panic attack that I could not do that myself either. And so I brought on some really great people. One of those people is Mr. Detweiler.
Well, thank you very much.
And he basically saved my life. I will say that to everyone. Well, him and you. A few others, Danielle Chaffin, yes. And Emily Blair.
Yes.
Or Emily Bochette.
Yes.
And then Barbie Cook as well. They all kind of helped and rushed in and helped me kind of moderate the page in the midst of the chaos because it was too much to handle. It wasn't.
Yes. And Barbie will go out and beat people up if you need her.
Yes, she will. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is.
She is awesome. She also has a great heart for the community and people. And I love people like that. So, we learned a lot of lessons. Even as the group of, people that I chose to be moderators, everybody learned lots of lessons about people and what people will say online and what they will do and how quickly positivity can go straight down the drain with one or two little
weird comments. That's right.
That will get things off the rails. And so I think the unique thing about this year also with Cookeville Strong is of course the COVID situation and just all of the stuff that surrounded that and trying to keep everything organized and tornado related as long as possible.
Right. Where people could get help, the whole FEMA situation when people come in here. I think what Cookeville Strong did was to help people access resources that
quickly,
they needed
to
access. And then, we had such a team atmosphere in this community with resources through the county, resources at Tennessee Tech, like with the photos and all of that. And so it really helped folks who at one point were hopeless have hope.
Yes.
And ultimately, isn't that the kind of people we want to be?
Is
to be able to go help people out in their greatest time of need.
Yeah. And it's funny because I still felt like in the middle of it, it felt like I had really done nothing. And I see now that there were a lot of good things that came out of it, but I was like, I haven't even been over. I made my husband drive me over there after 5 days because I was like, I haven't even seen it. Like I'm back here, working behind the computer and I'm not even out physically doing anything.
Sure. Picking up debris or whatever.
And so it felt like, I was like, am I doing anything? And does this even matter? And then I started seeing stories of, some of the biggest ones were people finding their wedding dresses and just like a mile away, people miles away finding their wedding dresses and then our community coming together to clean those dresses and have them, so they could have those memories back.
And that group, helped put those connections together.
It did.
So even though you may have not actually been out there picking up debris, what you were doing and what you had created, helped so many people. We saw the stories over and over again.
Yeah.
And so take me to actually going out there. Was it what you thought you would see, or was your first kind of reaction?
So I had actually, my husband's cousin's house got hit by a tornado right after we got married. Mm-hmm. So I had been in a tornado zone before. It was not an EF4. It was like an EF1 or 2.
Sure.
But still, the shock factor was similar of like I knew that things were just snapped in half and everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was months before I actually went out and helped somebody pick up stuff, which is crazy.
Sure.
And feels weird to admit because I was like, I kept feeling like I wasn't doing physically anything. Mm-hmm. But when I went there and I was helping them dig, they were trying to clear their lot to start building again. And there was people there trying to dig up some of the stuff that was in the lot and just try to see if they could find anything else left after they kind of flattened stuff.
Wow.
And, there was just chunks of granite, chunks of granite. And then all I could think was like, oh my God, like this granite was like obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
Like how is everyone that lived over here not obliterated?
Right.
Like, I mean, right. It just blew my mind. So being out there and actually seeing, like, even later, I mean, there was no houses left. There was mm-hmm. there wasn't a ton of debris left. There was most everything had been cleared at that point when I got out there and actually did physical work. But just like the pieces of the kitchen countertop. I mean, how did humans survive that if the kitchen countertop couldn't?
Yes. And the so that power just, of EF4 is just stunning.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, stunning. it was crazy. And so seeing that was a really big eye opener for me. Mm-hmm. Just at the power of it, because the other tornado that I had helped do some cleanup work on was not that way. Mm-hmm. It was like the side of the house was gone. It was still horrible.
Right. Damage.
It was horrible. It totaled the home, but
yeah. It wasn't complete devastation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Cookeville Strong is 27,000 members strong
yes.
now. Tell us about the other Facebook page you started over the last several months.
So I have two that I actually started, and I'll try to touch on them really quickly. But we also, after realizing that the traffic on the Cookeville Strong page stopped reaching survivors because it was too overwhelming, I also started a Cookeville Strong, like, survivors page. So there's a page that's specifically for survivors where they were able to start sharing things that were found and stuff to that group. And it was a very small group of people instead of so many people, so many channels and so much information. This group is much more tailored, and it's a safe space kind of for people that are going through things, that they have peers that are going through the same emotions that they are on stormy nights or whatever. And it's really been a beautiful thing to see them come together and, Amen. You know, build each other up. It's really been a beautiful process. So I have that. And then I also recently, post tornado, I think it opened some eyes after I worked with a couple different committees on just our housing, here mm-hmm. locally, and the rising rent costs, and really how many people are struggling to make those ends meet as far as housing goes.
Sure.
Of course, I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that our housing market is booming.
Yes.
It's really been booming.
Because it's a great place to live.
It is. It's a wonderful place to live. We all know that.
Moving in.
It's our secret. It's getting out.
It is getting out.
We need to contain it a little bit. But yeah, I mean, we're the hub. Like I said at the beginning, like it's, you know, we're not far from Chattanooga. We're not far from Knoxville. Mm-hmm. We're right outside of Nashville pretty much. But we're far enough to still feel like you are in rural America.
I agree.
And it's a wonderful place to be. It's a beautiful place to be.
And so this new page helps what? Connect people?
Yes. It's called For Rent Cookeville.
Okay.
So the hope is just that we can kind of help more people find rentals that are available, because a lot of people are looking for rentals, especially under $1,000. I mean, if you're a landlord and you're listening, please get on my page or the group.
For Rent Cookeville, Putnam County. Very easy to find.
It is. And just the goal is honestly just to kind of spread spread word about housing, like this other need that was there on March 3rd. So.
You know, it's interesting. People will say to me, and they'll say publicly, Cookeville has too many, you know, apartments or whatever, but then
people fill them up.
But
so,
they're full.
Yeah.
So, like, developers wouldn't build something if there wasn't a need for it.
Yeah.
And I think I need to say that out loud. Mm-hmm. So Cookeville does not have too many apartments.
They don't.
Because they're full.
Yes.
There's not many landlords, and if you're a landlord, you can call me out on this. There aren't many saying, hey, mine are empty. I need people, right?
Mm-mm. No, there's definitely not. So,
well, I'm glad you're doing this. I'm so glad to, because we knew each other years ago when we went to the same church when you were in high school, basically. And I'm glad you're doing this,
Thank you.
it is a true need in our community, the For Rent page and of course the Cookeville Strong page. And we could have talked about this for hours. Our time is up. It went by
so
fast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, ma'am. You're listening to Caitlin Steakley here on News Talk 94.1, and the show is Local Matters. Have a great day.
Thank you.